we're up to our third class in the Jewish home, and we had discussed last week the idea of giving what the other side wants to receive. That our giving has to be in accordance with them, not only in accordance with us. The most natural thing for us to give is what we know we would like to receive. But our needs are different. So we discussed certain overlaps in our needs. And this week we'll discuss certain differences or certain things that are not so intuitive. Chazal say a line that would seem chauvinistic. Rotza isha bekav v'tiflut mitisha kabin ufrishut. Rotza isha, a woman would prefer receiving. Kav, one measurement of parnasa, one measurement, a kav, a measurement of, if you're going to make a living, so let's say you'll get a salary of $1,000, one kav is a measurement of volume, v'tiflut, but a lot of attention, a lot of joking together, a lot of spending time and intimacy together, mitish akavin, she would rather that than having nine times the money, $9,000 a month, viprishut, but to have to spend time separate from her husband. What?
Very,
so that's the Gemara's line. Rotza isha bekav v'tiflut mitisha kabin ufrishut. A woman would rather have 1/9 the amenities, but to have much more time of intimacy, much more time of sharing affection, than having 9 times the income, but having to spend much more time away from her husband. So, notice the Gemara doesn't tell us what men want. The Gemara is telling us what women want. And I think that here we have to understand a lot of where this is coming from and why this is hard and how we follow up on it. So, let's begin. You wanted something, Uri? It's a Gemara, yeah. It's a Gemara in Sota. Okay. The Gemara doesn't say you should spend 9 times as much time talking and cut your salary to a ninth. The Gemara doesn't say what you should do. The Gemara is telling you what her preference is. People sometimes think, I'm buying her such a fancy house, I'm buying her such a fancy car. That's not the expression of affection that she needs. We said you want to give in accordance with her needs. Well, her needs are on a different plane. Her needs do not revolve around what type of car he got me. Very often we're part of a society where that's stressed. But in truth, deep down inside, what she needs is the expression of affection. I tell Chatanim, there's no excuse not to bring your wife flowers for Shabbos. You'll tell me, I don't have it in my budget. So I'll tell you, many flower shops here in Israel will sell you one flower. You'll tell me, I can't even afford that in my budget. I'll tell you, fine, a pen and paper you can afford. So take a piece of paper and write a bunch of words in the shape of a flower. A bunch of words in the shape of a stem, a bunch of words in the shape of a flower, and write to her, look, I wish I could bring you a flower with a petal and stems. I drew you one instead. But write words that express your affection. Us men are very practical oriented. So where does this come to play? It comes to play in a gift. Let's take a classical case of how most husbands buy their wife a gift. So So let's say you want to get your wife a pocketbook. Okay? So you go to 15 different stores and you compare the different pocketbooks. This one's made of real leather. That one's made of synthetic leather. This one is exactly the shade she likes. This one has a zipper for her chain. This one has a lifetime guarantee. This one doesn't look like it'll fall apart. And you start going through different pocketbooks, and after investing a long time researching, you finally order, because they don't have the exact shade that you think she'll like. They'll match her clothes and match her shoes and match her eyeshadow. You order the exact shade you've been able to verify that she likes, and you get the lifetime guarantee, and you get the one where you're convinced the straps won't tear, and you invested a lot of work. And like a classical male, you show up and you buy that pocketbook and you shell out whatever it takes, because this is going to be your expression of how much you love her. It's your 10th anniversary coming up. And it shows up at the store on the day of your anniversary, and you leave work and you rush over there and you pick up the pocketbook. And you come home and you hastily get together a note and you write down something to the one I cherish, and you don't have time really to get wrapping paper, but you figure, okay, I got her the best pocketbook in the world. And you throw in the note, and she knocks on the door, and you bring her the pocketbook. And she looks at it, and she smiles, and you start showing her, look, it's got the lifetime guarantee, and I looked for one with straps just like this, and exactly the shade, and look at the zipper, and you're showing her all the things you invested so much time in, and she politely smiles, and you're wondering, what did I miss? What happened? And you start getting frustrated and a little bit annoyed, and you say, you know how much time I took? You know how many lunch breaks I missed going from store to store to look for the best one? You know, every time I'd have to figure out a different excuse when I was coming home late at night. And she smiles and she shows her appreciation, and she's very nice and gracious, but you feel like something's missing. Okay. She says, you know, I have something for you too. So she pulls out from behind her back something nicely wrapped, and there's a note. You open the note, you read a nice little poem, you put it on the side, you tear open the wrapping, you see a wallet. Wow! You start looking at the lifetime guarantee, and you smell it, and you say, wow, this is real leather, and this looks like it's going to last a lifetime. And you check the zippers, and you get all excited, and it's real. What's the difference? You barely noticed the note. You half noticed the wrapper. And, but the wallet. Let's see what's in the wallet. You know, you can make a woman happy by getting her one little piece of chocolate. But wrap it nicely. Put a nice note with it. Because, again, what does she need? She's not like us. She needs that feeling of I am loved. She needs, Rotza isha bekav, give me less, but give me tiflut. Give me all the icing around the cake. She needs the icing. She needs the notes. She needs the wrapper. She needs everything around that to us men is so inconsequential. But it's very consequential for her. Because Hashem created her, as the verse says in Genesis, in Bereishis, ve'el isheich teshukatech. You will have a perpetual desire for your husband. And our sages interpreted that to mean that Hashem implanted within her this repeated need to hear, I love you. Us men also have to hear that, but it's different. So she needs to hear it all the time. She needs to hear it on her wavelength. And on her wavelength means the wrapper, means the note. It means much less the quality of the pocketbook you got her. To us men, we're very practical oriented. You know, leave the wrapper on the side, the note is very nice, show me what the wallet does for me. But that's that's a male approach versus a female approach. Again, obviously, us men also need wrappings and us men also need notes, but it plays a lesser role. Just as the woman is willing to suffice with less in the home, but far more expressions of love, so too in the gift. It's not as important to her, the material benefits of the gift. What's far more important to her is the note that comes with it, the expressions that come with it. Now, this is very counterintuitive for a man. Why can't you just be more like me? Yeah, us men, right? Come on. No. Right? We said last week, the true story. We ended with this story, right? I know the rabbi who had this, where the couple comes and they want to get divorced. Remember this? We said this last week. The woman says, he never says he loves me. And the guy says, I told you when we got married, I loved you. And if it would have changed, I would have told you. Right? It's a true story. You're laughing. I know the rabbi involved. I know the one. That's when he said, I don't, whatever. So, to us, it's counterintuitive. What do you want me to tell her? I once had a couple that were married maybe 20 years, and the guy comes and says, they were doing giyur together. They were both converting to Judaism. He studied here, and he came to me before the conversion and said, I want you to be our family's rav. So I said, I don't have time. You need someone who has more time for you. I can't do that. So he said, no, I studied my U all these years. I want you to be our family's rav. So I said, maybe we find someone else you'll be comfortable with. Your wife will be comfortable with. He'll understand you. You'll understand him. You'll have the time. No. So I said, okay. If you're insistent, then you're going to have to listen to me. So he said, fine, I'm ready to listen. I said, okay. So assignment number one, even though technically, halachically, you guys don't have Sheva Brachos, you have kids, you've been married all these years, right? You're converting to Judaism, and now you're going to get remarried as a Jewish couple, right? So you don't have 7 days of celebration, but I insist that you take 7 days to make your wife extra happy. Every day, you have to write her three notes. A note in the morning telling her how much you like her, a note in the afternoon telling her how much you like her, and a note in the evening. So he looks at me, you'd think I told him he has to take three root canals a day. He looks at me and says, no! I said, what? I said, you said you wanted me to be your rabbi. If I'm your rabbi, I told you what you have to do. She said, no, don't do that to me. What's wrong? What's that? He said, I don't know how to write notes. I said, fine, give me 1 minute. I took out a piece of paper. I wrote him 15 notes on a piece of paper. And I wrote. I said, okay, now look, read this. You see how you write notes? Good. Now use your own brain and write your own notes. So I said, okay. And after the 7 days, we're going to talk about how you continue. She says, okay. After the 7 days, he comes back. I tell him, did you do it? Yeah. And? He says, and, you know, we're married 20 years. I said, yeah. And what was her reaction? He said, I don't know. I don't understand her. She didn't say anything. She smiled with every note. And after she read it, I tried to take it to throw it out. And she said, I thought you gave it to me. It's mine. He said, like a little girl. I'm quoting his words. Like a little girl, she'd take each note and put it somewhere. So I said, okay, now you have Shana Rishona. You know, you're married. 7 days, first month, you're a chassan, she's a kala. So you won't write her three notes a day, one note a day. He says, no, you can't do that to me. I said, you told me I should be your rabbi. I didn't say, you said. I'm telling you, you owe it to your wife. Take the time and write the notes. It doesn't matter if you're married a day, a week, a month, 10 years, 20 years. It doesn't matter. Hashem created us all with certain needs. And one of the needs that every woman has is to feel loved. And the way she feels loved is by having it reiterated in different ways. A man can just hear, I love you, I made you supper because I love you, I can't wait for you to come home. We're very simple creatures, us men. Women are more complex. She needs to hear it in many different ways. And our responsibility is to fulfill that need. So 1 week it's with flowers, and another week it's with chocolates, and a third week you send a telegram, and a fourth week you send a surprise on Instagram, and you figure out your way of doing it. But when we say we have to give according to the other person's needs, so we have to remember, her needs are not mine. She doesn't talk my language in this sense. She needs to hear it many more times than I need to hear it. For every one time I need to hear it, she needs to hear it 100 times. And that's not an exaggeration. And what's important to her is the time, the affection, the expression of care and love. And that's not natural for us men. It's very hard for us men to express affection, to express appreciation. It's much easier for us to bring a gift and go, eh? That comes natural, no problem. But they need to hear the expression. And as hard as it is for us, we have to learn. We have to learn to express affection. Next thing, appreciation. Every person needs to be appreciated. Every person. And most people are underappreciated. And wives are 10 times underappreciated. So, where do we see this in Chazal? Our sages teach us that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's son, Rabbi Shimon, had a baby girl. So, he met Rabbi Chiya, who was Rabbi's disciple, a contemporary and disciple. And when Rabbi Chiya met him, he said to him, "Oh, wow, you have the future of the world. You had a girl. They're the future of the world." So Rabbi Shimon came home all glowing. You know, Rabbi Chiya, the great rabbi Rabbi Chiya, told him that women are the future of the world. They're the ones that build the world. And Rabbi tells him, "Oh, he gave you worthless comfort. You had a girl. What's a girl?" So Rabbi says in the Gemara, you have a person who tans hides. You have a person who sells perfume. And everyone likes to go to the perfume store because you walk away smelling good. And no one likes to go into the tannery because it stinks. Having a girl is like having a tannery. So you read that Gemara. And what's the simple reading of the Gemara? That it stinks to have a girl, right? That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Now let's read into the Gemara. What was the Gemara really telling us? You ask a person, what do you need in life? So a person will say, "I need shoes." "Do you need perfume?" "No, but I like perfume." Perfume is an amenity. It's nice. People like going to a perfume store. But people need to go to buy sandals or shoes. When we look at the tasks that men and women do, they are very comparable to perfume versus shoes. What does a woman do? She brings up the kids, she feeds the kids, she cleans the house, she does the laundry, maybe she also has a job on the side, but she's taking care of the home. Now, when we speak about the home and what we do in life, so many men have the attitude, "My wife takes care of the kids so I can go out to work." That's wrong. You go out to work so she could take care of the kids. You're working for her. She's not working for you. The focus of life is the home. What am I here for? To make another $100,000 in court? Big deal. That's the gauge of life. Life is the education. Life is the home. Life is the children. Life is the family. Everything else I'm doing is for the family, is for the home. I'm her slave. She's not my slave. I'm working out there all day so that she could bring up the kids. Not the way most people think, she's bringing up the kids, so I could go out to work. No. So, the world appreciates what the man does. You rarely hear a person saying, "What a great house cleaner. You know, she does a great job cleaning the toilets. Good for her. She does her laundry phenomenally. And she feeds the kids. Wow, she's nutritionist, the way she feeds the kids." No one talks about it. Just like no one bothers talking about the shoes. Today they talk about the shoes, but usually people aren't talking about their shoes. You'll talk about perfumes. You'll talk about the excellent cologne. Rebbe was telling Rebbe Shimon, his son, it's true. Girls are the future of the world. But girls never get the appreciation of the future of the world. A woman's task is constant repeat. You fed the kids today, you'll feed them again tomorrow. You bathe them today, you'll bathe them again tomorrow. You clean the floor today, it'll get dirty, you'll clean it again tomorrow. Your work, your focus on the home is jobs of repetition, jobs where the products ultimately are all of life. When you bring up your kids, when you're a good wife and a good mother, that's the focus of life. But people don't view it that way. If a person has 10 shekels to his name, he better prefer to buy sandals than to buy perfume, because he better have something to cover his feet that's far more important than the perfume. By the same token, when you compare a man and a woman, at the end of the day, the woman is the essence of life. The home that she builds is the essence of life. What he's doing is like perfume. It's nice, it's important, it's necessary. But life is the woman. But it's a thankless job. It's very easy to take it for granted. I'm out there working. I'm in court. I wear a fancy suit. I'm a doctor. I'm doing all kinds of very important things. But at the end of the day, I'm supposed to be working for the home. The focus is the home. Everything else is supportive of the home. So maybe I have a good job. I'm a doctor, so there's some benefit to the job I'm doing. I'm not just prosecuting people in court or... writing up video games for kids to destroy their eyes on. Maybe I'm doing a job that does have merits and does have its own value. But at the end of the day, when we speak about the family, I'm working for her. We're partners, but I'm there because the focus is the home. And that's what Rebbe was telling his son, Rebbe Chiya. He was saying, his son, Rebbe Shimon, he was saying, yeah, what Rebbe Chiya told you is right. But it's like a tannery. It's a job that's the essence of life, the importance of life, and yet no one appreciates it. You step on it, you walk on it, just like the sandal you wear. You buy the things the tanner makes and you need them, but no one wants to go into his shop. Who wants to change the kid's diaper? I gotta go to work, honey. Who wants to be the one to do the dishes? So sometimes you help, and you have to help as a husband. Wherever you can, you help. You should know, I do diapers every morning. Before I leave my wife clean diapers. I do the diapers every morning. I do whenever I can. A husband's job is to help where he can. I can't be home all day to do the diapers, but the diapers I could do before I leave, I do. That's our job. When I can, I do the toilets in the house. I think that this concept, that's her job. No, it isn't. There's work that has to get done at home. When you could do it, you do it. And how you divide the task depends on each couple, but at the end of the day, whatever you can do to help, you have to help. Why shouldn't you help? It's our home. But the classical division of tasks where you're out working and even if she's going to have a job, she's going to be more home with the kids, that's thankless. At the end of the day, it's very easy to forget the appreciation we owe for it. And that's why Rebbe was comparing it to a tannery. He wasn't coming to contradict what Rebbe Chiya said. When Rebbe Chiya told his son, Rebbe Shimon, when he said to him, women are the future of the world, Rebbe didn't disagree with that. He was just saying, but it's hard to appreciate. It's not an easy job to be a woman. But our job as husbands is to know how to appreciate, to show that appreciation. The greatest complaint that women have is lack of appreciation. The number one complaint why women leave marriages is that they don't feel appreciated. Yeah, Uri.
Well, I was going to say, when you were first giving the analogy that the perfumer just goes to the tanner, they think, because people have shoes to run over to his perfume store with, and they have clothes or belts to wear to hold up the clothes to shove in the perfume store. Do you need perfume to show up to a tannery store?
We'll just touch on a few other points that are relevant to a woman's needs. A woman needs to feel beautiful. And every husband has one of his responsibilities is to express to his wife that he thinks she is beautiful. A woman needs to feel like she is important in your life. Men have a tendency to withhold certain information from their wives. Part of it is because of conversational styles, which we'll discuss later on. Part of it is because men are worried what she's going to say about it. Part of it is because there's things about our communication we have to learn. But the causes we'll discuss in later classes. At the end of the day, it's not uncommon that a husband gets a raise and he doesn't tell his wife, or that something substantial happened at work and he doesn't share it with his wife. It's very easy to enter that mode where you come home and how was your day? Everything was great. How was yours? And part of it, as we will discuss in conversational styles, part of it is that women's conversational styles overtake men's. Meaning anytime you're going to try to share something with her, you might find yourself ending up having a whole conversation about her day, and you feel like you can never share your day with her anyways, you're not even going to bother. After you try about 5 times, and you see each time you end up talking about her day, so you give up, and we're going to discuss why that happens. That part of it is us men don't understand their conversational style, and so we don't know how to participate correctly. And that's why we feel like they're taking over the conversation when that's not their intent at all. We speak on different modes, but that's a separate class. We'll get to that. One of the things that's very beneficial and that a woman needs is to feel like you're sharing your secrets with her. Now, we have a rule that any secret you tell your wife, everyone else is going to know. You heard it here. You could open Aesop's Fables, you could open Tanakh, you could open any old traditional work. They're all filled with the same stories. The husband told his wife, don't, and she did. The husband told his wife, don't tell anyone, and she did. These stories repeat themselves in every culture, and that's because it's a common theme. So if you told your wife a secret, you could expect it's going to get out and at the worst possible time. So how do you do it? So one of the ways to do it is to invent secrets. You got a promotion. You don't feel like telling anyone, but there's nothing really terrible if anyone knows. So you come to your wife and you say, look, there's a secret I want to share with you. It'll be our little secret. For the time being, we shouldn't tell anyone. And you tell her you got the promotion. Now, what'll happen? She'll tell someone. She'll tell only her best friend. She'll tell her mother. She'll tell her sister. Whatever it is. Because and when we discuss conversational styles, we'll discuss why, by women, this is a big thing, sharing secrets. If a woman... If a woman is pregnant or a woman is about to get engaged and she didn't tell her best friend, that's it. The friendship's doomed. If you thought we were friends, why didn't you tell me? How could you tell me? I was learning with Chavrusa every day of the year. And then his wife had a child and my wife asked me, did you know she was expecting? I said, no, why would I know? My wife looked at me like, you don't think he's your Chavrusa? You meet every day. You don't share anything from your personal life? No, and I'm not offended, right? To me, it's fine. Why should he tell me his wife's expecting? Now I know his wife had a baby boy. Mazel tov, stay there. We come to the bris. I'm very happy for you. Good, I didn't need to know. But by women, this is a big thing. If you love me, if you care about me, if I'm a part of your life, you're going to share with me your secrets. And so to us men, this isn't the language we speak. But we have to talk their language. That's what we said. We have to show affection in what's meaningful to them. So what's meaningful to her is to feel like she's a part of your secrets. She's a part of those things that no one else knows. So some secrets you're going to tell her, everyone's going to know. So you could create secrets. You could take things which it's not the end of the world if anyone would know. You'd just rather other people not know and share them with her as your secrets. So these are a few of the points. What did we discuss today? A woman's need for love. That a woman prefers the show of affection to something that has greater monetary value. They speak a different language than we do. We have to show that affection in the details, in the wrapping, in the note, in the card. The capacity to show expression in cheap ways, by taking a little piece of chocolate and wrapping it up and writing a beautiful note with it. We discussed women's needs for appreciation. We discussed a woman's need to feel that she's beautiful. We discussed a woman's need to feel like she is substantial in your life, that things that are substantial in your life you share with her, even though it might be difficult to get the point across, and that we will discuss. And we discussed the idea of sharing secrets. Okay?